This developing story is brought to you by me, because I'm recording this. It's also brought to you by Block, because they pay for my salary. If you have any interest in learning how to code online with a mentor, send me an email at hello@briandouglas.me.
Guys, this is Brian. In addition to my regular mutual fund meetings, I'm going to do an additional Periscope chat. I think there's a lot of valid questions. A lot of people are asking some pretty good questions on these meetings that I've been doing on a weekly basis. If you are interested, best thing to do is probably follow me on Twitter, and I'll be tweeting out a live Periscope meeting on October 8th. This Developing Story, episode 31. Just again, got that reminder in the front. Periscope chat happening next week. Definitely looking forward to anybody. If you got questions, still make sure you tweet me at this developing story on Twitter, and I'll respond to those questions live next week. But as far as this week, man, over this weekend, I actually took a look into React Native, and React is, I mentioned a few weeks ago, I just started tinkering with it just to kind of get an idea of what it was. I've had a long-term goal of getting my Hustling app to be on React and Ember. Basically, just rewrite it in React, which wouldn't be too hard. Now that I actually look to see how to make React. But I've kind of not really been touching the Hustling app. I'm still going to be using that, hopefully, for an iOS app coming soon. But I had the idea of doing React Native. Once again, my mentor mentioned, why not do React Native since I already know JavaScript for my next app. So that's what I'm going to be doing. So what I did is I went to the Facebook guides and I marked off the React Native tutorial, kind of just getting started, and did that, I think, on Sunday morning over the course of basically took me about an hour. And then I spent about another hour kind of reading and watching videos and stuff like that. And I was pretty blown away. Initial response is really good for React Native. I've spent some time doing Objective-C, and I'm doing Swift, and spent some time learning Xcode and how that works and that IDE, and also learning like the Cocoa Touch framework, which is all those different classes and libraries that are built inside of iOS in the standard library. And my first impression of React Native is it's really good. It seems very promising. My original response to anything that wasn't native apps was usually, I don't think I want to learn that. Like when I first started Ruby, I knew a couple people who were doing Ruby Motion, which is sort of like JavaScript's Ionic or Cordova, which is you write JavaScript or you write Ruby and it converts it into iOS and that's it. And, to be honest, I didn't really give those much of a chance. I never actually looked into them because I felt like I didn't want to branch out too far when I was still learning last year. So I never gave those a shot. So my idea of those languages are kind of superficial since I've actually never actually looked at the source code or looked at any tutorials. But I've also seen some of those apps that are produced with those, and they just don't look that great. I'm not sure if it's because the people who make them don't really know iOS that well enough to make a good looking app, but I just haven't been impressed with any of the production apps that I've seen built in those different frameworks. So I've also had the opportunity of learning regular iOS. I've done some tutorials that are basic iOS stuff, and then I've also gone to the Block iOS program. So I figured why not. I got the opportunity to learn Objective-C, which is built off of regular C. Also got to learn basic C also, not through the course, but prior to that in preparation for the course. So I learned some basic C again. So I think to make me more well-rounded, I think going through Swift and Objective-C was actually probably the better way for me to go as far as learning iOS. But now since I already know it, React Native seems like a very good transition. I'm looking forward to jumping into it. I mean, just getting through the beginning tutorial, you don't really do much specific to iOS. They give you a lot of guides on that, like more of like a show and tell more than an actual tutorial. But the actual tutorial portion, I was pretty impressed on how the setup was. It was pretty easy. I was up and running. Within 20 minutes, I had a little error where I had to upgrade my homebrew. But other than that, I am So, I've been at Block for 6 months. I came here as a Rails developer. I had dabbled in a lot of things. I've dabbled in Ember up to that point. I built a simple API in preparations to start my Ember app without a tutorial. So I was at that point. This is like 6 months ago. And I think I also started dabbling in Node.js and kind of got my feet well with that, where I had a good understanding of how it worked, but I don't think I actually built anything in Node other than that the Slack chat inviter that I have. I'll link the Slack chat inviter. I'll link that repo in the show notes, and also my Ember app if you guys are interested. I did mention it about 30 podcasts ago, quite a bit, but yeah. So as far as like programming knowledge, I don't think I really had like tons of experience other than my Rails experience that I had for the 10 months and then also the few months of doing Block. So I came in like very, very eyes wide open, ready to learn. So immediately I got my hands wet in Angular. I took an Angular weekend course the very first weekend I was here. And definitely enjoyed that. Since then, I've done tons and tons of JavaScript work. Done tons and tons of testing. I've done some DevOps stuff. I've done some StatsD stuff. I've done some Go code since being here, learning it outside of work. Looking forward to applying that knowledge inside of work maybe in the near future. But I've also got my hands on Rust. Can't really do anything with that yet, except maybe some like side projects or some small little command line programs. But so as far as my experience, I would at least say I'm five times as better than I was when I first arrived 6 months ago. So I think when I first started IZEA as my first programming job, obviously I was starting from zero with no actual real work experience. I grew crazy fast at IZEA just by getting established. But I definitely felt around the Christmas time that I was kind of just spinning my wheels on the same projects and regurgitating the same features with the same code over and over again. And I wasn't feeling I was growing. I felt like I probably would end up growing eventually as we started branching out and the team was getting bigger. But when Block came along, I knew what happened the past 6 months is going to happen for sure. And that's one of my biggest reasons for coming out here. Most people, I mean, you would probably think that the money would be good enough, but I don't think in comparison to what I get paid now and what I was getting paid at IZEA, it's pretty comparable. It's as far as like cost of living. I still make more if you were to compare it apples to apples based on like the calculator I used. But as far as experience, that for sure, there's so much more experience to be made and to be obtained rather here. So I definitely am glad at my decision looking back in 6 months. A lot of people like to ask me the same questions. Not that they know what other questions other people are asking. That's why I created the AMA. They kind of get my frequently asked questions out there. But one of the top questions is like, was Block worth it? Or, you know, is it worth it to move the SF for a job? And honestly, I would say, yes, it is. It's very worth it to live in San Francisco. Now, if I had like two kids instead of one, and had more of like, I was more locked down where I was at previously, I don't know, I probably would have still did it. I don't know. But but as far as like experience level, I mean, I could be here for probably the next 2 to 5 years, for sure at least. And I think the experience I'm getting here far outweighs the experience I would get just solely online or solely in Florida. So I never thought I would be as qualified as I am now. I don't have any desire to move on from Block at the moment. I'm not really looking at other employment opportunities. I had to change. LinkedIn is crazy because once you put you're in San Francisco, then you get tons and tons of recruiters hitting you up. So I actually changed my my address to be in Canada, in Nova Scotia, which actually works to my surprise. So if you change your address to Canada, you won't get recruiters recruiting you, which is weird. It's funny to think of how simple their search, how they search candidates is basically search anybody in San Francisco that does this. So anyway, so San Francisco, two thumbs up also. I definitely am happy at my decision to come out here, and highly recommend it to anybody else who's looking. So finally, I wanted to address another thing that I get a lot of concerns and questions from, a lot of potential boot camp students or potential people who are looking to learn how to code, kind of trying to think on the outside looking in, where I mean, I was in that position not even 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago next month. Is it even possible to get a job out of a boot camp? Is the market like way too saturated as a boot camp grad? And like, can you get a job? That's like the most biggest concern to most people coming out of a boot camp. If you're not going to like a Hack Reactor or a like an App Academy, I don't know if App Academy is still around, but where they guarantee you a job and they guarantee that you don't pay if you don't get a job, I think a lot of people are concerned if you don't give that sort of like guarantee, I guess is the word I'm looking for. If you don't get that same sort of guarantee, then people are quite concerned. But I think the approach of choosing a boot camp over learning on your own, I think people are kind of taking the wrong approach on it. I think most people are kind of comparing going to a boot camp as like going back to college or going to school or whatever. If you're going to a boot camp to learn like in a classroom setting and that's it, like you don't want to put in the work outside of boot camp, you want to put in the work on the weekends, and you want to put in the work to like, you know, show up at the meetups, build the connections while you're in the boot camp, then I don't think boot camps are for you. I don't think programming is for you at this point. You might as well just go back to college and get the basics. And then at least in 4 years, you'll have enough of the knowledge experience to be able just to walk in and apply for a job. But I think at this point in time, I think there's such a change in the industry that the initial run of getting jobs after not knowing any code, I think that's getting to the point where it's over, where you could know how to spell Ruby and or know how to spell Rails and you could get a job. I think employers are now knowledgeable enough to know, yes, we can take on these non-college grads, but they have to show some other skill set outside of that. So if you're coming from, like myself, if you're coming from a sales background or if you're coming from a communications background, you want to learn how to code, I think you're very valuable just because you have the opportunity to grow a startup. Not only like I'm doing a podcast right now, I have the ability to do communications and do, you know, just soft skills. I have that, just because of my sales background. So I'm more valuable to a company than to someone who just is coming out of high school and learning how to program to a boot camp. So you've got to have some other skills besides just programming. You've got to, you've got to be able to show that ability. It's more than just sending out CSVs and resumes to companies and waiting for responses. You can't go that route. You've got to know somebody. You've got to be, and not in their faces per se, but you've got to be at a meetup. You've got to be making those connections. Because if you don't make those connections, you're not going to get the job compared to somebody else. I mean, if they're looking at resume to resume, there's a good chance that the other resume is probably better than yours. So you've got to be doing things. You've got to be writing code. You've got to be building projects. And if you're not doing that and you're just expecting to walk out of a boot camp with a boot camp portfolio, I think that time has passed. I think you've definitely got to do. And I mean, I outlined this all on my blog as I was doing it. I kind of went above and beyond of what I needed to do at the time when I was looking for a job. So I think if you like mirror even like half of what I did, you have a better chance than if you just, you know, show up. If you're looking for a job at a startup, most startups are looking for people who that aren't looking just for a 9-to-5, just to turn themselves off after work. Now I work at a startup. I pretty much work maybe 30 hours a week. I'm here longer, but as far as like hands to keyboard typing code, it's about 30 hours. And outside of work, I'm not really on call outside of work. We kind of have a bit of a schedule for people to be the go-to people on off hours. So every now and then I do, you know, check Slack and I'm on online. And every now and then I do some extra work. I try to research things. I try to build some other things outside of like our day-to-day code to kind of help. Like I built that Slack app. That Slack command tool. I built that majority outside of work. And so every now and then I do some things just to like try things out because I've got that sort of freedom. But if you're just looking just to show up here, show up at work and just put in your 8 hours and then go home, I don't think companies are looking at that at the moment. And I think companies that are looking for that are looking for college degrees. So you've got to differentiate yourself for sure. So I don't know. I've kind of gone on a tangent. I'm not even sure if this is the demographic or people are interested in this. I'm not really sure of who listens to this podcast. I know I get quite a few people listening to it, but, you know, maybe I'll figure out more of what you guys are looking for once I do the Periscope chat. But, yeah, hopefully that little rant was I finished my thought, and then hopefully it was at least applied to at least one listener that listens to this. But, yeah, definitely. I guess let me answer my original question. Is it too late to get a job by going to a boot camp? No, it's not too late. But if you just want to kind of spin your wheels and coast in and coast out, then yeah, it's too late for you. But if you want to work hard and put in the time and the effort, then yeah, I think you definitely have a shot to getting a job. But you have to get your soft skills up. I want to recommend that soft skills book by John Thomas. Check that out. It gives you a great idea of how programmers can build up their soft skills and build up their interview presence and communication presence. So yeah. So for my tip, I've been messing around with Go Weather. I just got back into Go last weekend. Actually, a couple weekends ago because the Go meetup was a couple weeks ago. So in preparation for the Go meetup, I wanted to kind of brush up on Go again. And I ended up asking like a super stupid question on how to initialize my Go path. For whatever reason, I was trying to, this is even my tip, but I was trying to set my Go path in my Bash RC, but it turned out I had to set it in my Bash profile. I'm actually going to write a blog post about this because I was tripped up on this. I've been doing Go for 6 months and I just figured this out. So I had to always reset my Go path every time. But that's not my tip. My tip is Go Weather. Go Weather is one of many Go Weather apps, weather apps written in Go that you can probably find on GitHub. But I happened to find this one. This one seemed like it was trending. I follow Changelog Nightly, which shows trending repos on GitHub. And this one was trending, so I checked it out. And it's basically just a command line tool for checking the weather. And it's all written in Go. It's pretty readable. I mean, if you understand the basics of the Go syntax, so if you go to the tour of Go, if you understand the syntax, you kind of know what's going on. So I already started hacking away at it. I've noticed a bug in the app, so I'm actually going to be hopefully hacking away at a fix. And it will be my first committed Go code. That's not a tutorial. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be like a couple-hour project. It'll probably take me an hour to sit down and figure it out. And but I highly recommend this repo. It's very once you understand, like if you have Go set up on a computer, you can definitely go get this and build it, and you have got a command line tool, but also you've got readable code to kind of understand like how Go works. And it's fetching from an API, it's reading it, it's outputting it, and it's got everything you need to know about Go. So check that out, Go Weather. I did read a blog post from Daniel Kehoe. Daniel was actually found out about him literally 2 years ago. He had his Rails tutorial, I think one of his first tutorials, and I went through that tutorial, and it was pretty good. But I didn't know he actually used to be in San Francisco. Not San Francisco. He actually lived in Marin County, and then he also based on his blog post, he wrote a blog post, and he did live in San Francisco before he moved, and it's titled "I Left My Heart in San Francisco." And it's an interesting read. It's a read about how he basically was priced out of the area. He went from doing like mega consulting work in Rails to kind of scaling it back and actually living a normal life. But because of that, he wasn't able to afford to live in the area. But one thing that got me is, this is my tip, is for some reason, everybody thinks that if you move here, you have to live in San Francisco. And that's what they compare their rents to. But I'll tell you right now, what I pay in rent is the same amount you would get one, a bedroom and a studio, not a studio. I pay way less than a studio apartment in San Francisco. But if you were sharing like a four-bedroom apartment, I pay basically the price of one room of a four-bedroom apartment. For a quarter of a house, I'm paying for a one-bedroom apartment in Oakland. So my tip is don't rent in San Francisco. There are so many other neighborhoods outside of San Francisco that you could rent in for a moderate price, maybe above moderate price. I still pay a lot compared to what I paid in Orlando. To go back to the blog post, his decision to leave the area ultimately was really more about experiencing other things. But his decision to leave the area was solely based on living within the city limits of San Francisco. And I think there's a lot of like an entitlement thing there going on. I think as a software engineer or the developer, they feel entitled to be able to live within the city limits. And I think that's part of the problem too. Like, I guess if you're going to make this amount of money, I guess why not? You might as well live in the city limits. Might as well be able to bike to work. I get that. But I think as far as a pure money thing, why not move outside of the Bay, or outside of the Bay, outside of SF, and save some money? And that was my whole goal. I live in Oakland. I live in a very interesting area where I live, like, you know, if I go walk out one side of my street, I'm like walking right into the black neighborhood. And if I walk on the other side of the street, I walk in a very affluent, rich area. And I live right in the middle, and I get best of both worlds. And I pay an above moderate but decent for the area rent. So definitely, if you are moving to the area, don't move in San Francisco.